I wonder, have you ever been sold a fake or counterfeit goods? I was once on holiday and I bought a Rolex, and quite soon I had a rash where I wore that Rolex. Quite soon I often showed up late to things, thinking that I was on time. I didn't actually think I had bought a genuine Rolex, but I had bought a fake and I realized it. Also, you can buy fake sunglasses as well. And the rumors are that fake sunglasses can actually do more harm to your eyes than having no sunglasses at all. So to have a fake version of something really isn't very good at all, and it can actually cause more harm than good. And the best way to tell a fake item is to know the original really well. And whenever we come to look at the topic of Christianity and the person of Christ, a fake Jesus is no good. And in our world, I believe that there are a lot of people selling fake Jesuses. The health, wealth and prosperity Jesus who will enhance your life right here, right now, for all time. And the best way to be able to detect some of these fake Jesuses are to have a really good understanding of the true Jesus as is revealed to us in God's Word, the Bible. As we come to look in this series of cults and Christianity, a question that Jesus asks of us and asks of his followers whenever he walked on earth is found in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 30. And that Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about him. And this is one of the biggest questions that we can consider. A question of Jesus of who do we say that he is? Who do we as evangelical Christians here at Hamilton Road say that Jesus is? Who do others who claim to be Christians say that Jesus is? Because as we live in a world of many varieties of everything, we're going to hear and see a lot of people talking about Jesus. And the way to know whether what they're saying is true or false is to know the real Jesus as revealed in his word, and then to be able to identify some of the errors. And as you come to Hamilton Road this evening, maybe you're asking this question, or you're considering this question of who do you think Jesus is, and I encourage you to keep on thinking that question through. So this evening we're going to be looking at the Jehovah's Witnesses, and somebody has quoted the Watchtower leadership, that is the leadership of the Jehovah's Witnesses, sensed that within the midst of Christendom there were millions of professing Christians who were not well grounded in the truths once delivered to the saints, and who would rather easily be pried loose from the churches and be laid into a new and revitalized Watchtower organization. For society calculated, and that rightly, that this lack of proper knowledge of God and the widespread acceptance of half-truths in Christendom would yield vast masses of men and women if the whole matter were wisely attacked, the attack sustained and the results contained, and then reused in ever-widening circles. Basically what they're saying, people who claim to be Christians don't know the real Jesus, so they can be easily warped in their thinking as we present to them another Jesus, and they can be pried away to begin and to enhance the Watchtower organization or the Jehovah's Witnesses. So why is it so popular today? Well, really, it gives people a sense of friendship and belonging. And we all have that human desire to worship something. So whenever you have folks at your door offering you someone and some way to worship, you could be pulled into it quite easily. And here's where we're going this evening. We're going to have a look at who are the Jehovah's Witnesses, what do they believe, and how do we respond to that. So who are the Jehovah's Witnesses? So as always, it's good to go back to the origins of anything to find out how movement started. And the Jehovah's Witnesses birth was really in 1879, and there was a Bible class led by Charles Taze Russell in Pennsylvania, USA. And he was a self-appointed pastor who didn't like any of the teachers in the churches he grew up in, so he began a Bible class of his own. And as it grew, he wanted a way to expand the reach of his teaching, so he turned to the printing press. And what started off as a Herald of the Morning magazine, and then became the Watchtower and mentioned Jehovah's Kingdom. And then in 1886, he founded the Watchtower Tract Society, which is now the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And since their foundation in 1886, they've had several names that they have gone under. Firstly, the Millennial Dawn, then the Metropolitan Pulpit, then the Brooklyn Tabernacle Pulpit, and then the International Bible Students Association, and now the Jehovah's Witnesses since 1931, and their headquarters are now in Brooklyn, New York. And they passionately believe what they believe, and they want to share it with others. And in the world currently, there are just over 8.3 million active Jehovah's Witnesses in just under 120,000 congregations in 240 countries. So this isn't something that we can just leave off to the side. This is a teaching and a movement that has a lot of followers. And as well as those 8.3 million active, there's also another 12 million who are associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses who aren't active and yet would have a belief. And in our own country here in Northern Ireland, there are 23 Kingdom Halls, that is where they gather, and there's one on the Clifton Road just a few hundred metres away here in Bangor. And all of this came from one man called Charles Taze Russell, who wanted to distort the teachings of the Bible. He didn't want to believe that hell was real, so he began his own theological framework. So why are they called Jehovah's Witnesses today? Well, really, they use Isaiah 43, verse 10 as their pretext, and it says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord," or they translated, "declares Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." And it's from that verse that Rutherford, who followed Russell, called them the Jehovah's Witnesses. So what is a typical profile of a typical Jehovah's Witness? Well, there will be somebody who is fairly well-dressed, who go house to house, on average 10 hours per month, teaching and sharing what they believe with others. And they will have 5 hours per week of gatherings in their Kingdom Halls where they study the Watchtower literature and their New World Translation of the Bible. For every convert to the Jehovah's Witnesses, there are 740 house visits, and as a result of their evangelism, there are 4,000 converts to it every week. So This is growing as well. And we see their dedication. 740 house visits before somebody says, yeah, I believe what you're saying here. They're also well known for their watchtower magazine, which I have already referenced. And it's one of the most distributed magazines in the world. And each month there are 46 million copies of this produced. And this really includes all of the teachings of the church. And when you examine what is written in the articles there, a lot of it is based on Russell and Rutherford's original work in the 19th and early 20th century. A typical Jehovah's Witness spends 85% of their time reading and studying the Watchtower, and 15% reading and studying their Bible. So I think that gives you a little sense of where some of their teachings and theology comes from. They're also known for not accepting blood transfusions as well, and they do not sing the national anthem, and they do not serve in the armed forces because they believe that they are part of God's kingdom here on earth. And they believe that the interpretation that they have of the Bible is true with all that they have. And they believe that the God of this age has blinded our eyes as Christians. They are genuine, sincere, and they are dedicated. And God loves Jehovah's Witnesses. And Christ died for them. And he calls us to go and to tell them the good news about Jesus. So what else can we find out about Charles Taze Russell? Well, he was the owner of a chain of drapery stores, and he couldn't find any existing religion or denomination to his liking. So he called himself a pastor and began his own Bible class. So what are his theological credentials? For somebody who claims that every church in the world has got it wrong, surely they've got some pretty good credentials. Well, under oath at a court, he was asked, can you read Greek? And he answered, yes, I can. So he was asked to read some letters of the Greek alphabet, and he was not able to. And he went on to say that he never knew Latin or Hebrew either. He hadn't any teaching in theology, and yet he went on to say that all current Bible translations out of the Hebrew and Greek originals were false. But what about his personal life as well? Well, his personal life seems to be equally deceptive. His marriage ended in divorce and an immoral scandal. And in one quote I read, he was said, I'm like a jellyfish. I float around here and there. I touch this one and that one, and if she responds, I take her to me, and if she doesn't, I float on to others. I was a friend of his wife at that time. And he also claimed to have found a miracle wheat as well, and this could heal all sorts of illnesses and diseases, and he sold it at crazy prices. He also wrote a great literary work called The Millennial Dawn, and this later became known as Studies in the Scriptures, and it was first published in 1896, and the final volume, 7, was written after his death in 1917. Whether these writings were his own and were original is also questioned as well. But then what about his prophetical credentials? Somebody who was claiming to be a spokesperson from on high. He prophesied that in 1914 the world would end. In 1925, whenever that didn't happen, the end was prophesied by Rutherford, his his successor. After that didn't happen, it changed to 1946, and after it didn't happen then, it changed to 1950, and the last prophecy of the end of the world came in 1975, and whenever that didn't happen, 1 million Jehovah's Witnesses left the organization, and since then, they no longer prophesy when the end of the world is going to be. I think you can guess why. Every prophecy that the Watchtower movement have come out with has failed miserably. In 1914, they thought that World War I was going to be Armageddon and that neither side were going to win. And we could go on. I've got 20 pages of size 12 font of prophecies from the Jehovah's Witnesses that haven't come true, and you can have a look at those later on. So what do they believe? Well, firstly, I want to take us to what do they believe about Jesus, because I believe at the center of our faith is what we believe about Jesus. And firstly, they do not believe that Jesus was God, but they believe that he was a God. In John 1:1, we believe in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But they have changed that to say, and the Word was a God. And in their translation of the Bible, the New World Translation, they have tried to alter every reference to the deity of Christ. And some questions that you can have for them. In John's Gospel, 7 times, Jesus refers to him as the I Am. A reference to God saying, I am that I am, clearly claiming to be the deity, backing up his claims with a miracle as well. In John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. And these are in their translation as well. In Mark chapter 2, whenever he heals the paralytic, and the Pharisees watching on are saying, who can forgive sins except God alone? Good question. Nobody can. Jesus couldn't if he wasn't God. But the very facts are that he was God. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. In a lot of ways, the Jehovah's Witnesses and what they say about Christ are quite like what the Pharisees say about Christ. They don't like his claim to be God. So who do they say that he is? Well, they say that he is the Archangel Michael incarnate. And here's what was written in the Watchtower magazine in 1989 on page 218. The Archangel Michael is Jesus Christ. So the evidence indicates that the Son of God was known as Michael before he came to earth, and is known also by Latin name since his return to heaven, where he resides as the Spirit Son of God. So before Jesus came to earth, he was Michael the Archangel, who was the first created being. And then after his resurrection, he then became Michael the Archangel again. Now, if you have your Bible and just simply read it for what it is, you will never come to this conclusion. The verses they take it from are Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 19, where Michael has an army of angels and then Jesus has an army of angels as well. So they say Michael and Jesus have to be the same person, regardless of the hundreds of other passages where Jesus is claiming to be God and showing himself to be God. Also, in Jude chapter 7, it says, when Michael the archangel had a difference with the devil and was disputing about Moses' body, he did not dare bring a judgment against him in the abusive terms, but he said, may Jehovah rebuke you. And that's from the New World Translation. Who went for 40 days into the wilderness and then confronted the devil, and pass judgment on him. Jesus Christ, Jehovah, he was God. Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel will come, God with us. It wasn't Michael with us. It's God with us. All the evidence is there. Although if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness about this, every reference that you give, they will argue and try to wangle out of. And they will say that all things were not created through Jesus, but they will say that all other things were created through Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus himself says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. Jehovah also says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Trinity is three persons in one essence. God Almighty. They'll also go on to claim that Jesus did not die on a cross, but he died on an upright stake in the ground, basically butchering the Greek translation of the word for cross, trying to throw you off track and trying to get the upper hand in conversations. They also go on to claim that Jesus' resurrection was only spiritual and it was not physical, and that his body in the tomb either evaporated or Jehovah took it to himself. Yet the reality is in Acts 1:3-5 it says, after his suffering he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days on one occasion while he was eating with them. Jesus' resurrection was physical. The disciples seen it and they acted on it and they gave their lives for it. They also believe that Jesus has already returned to earth, and that happened in 1914, and that began the final days as prophesied in Revelation. And again in the 1996 edition of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, page 12, what does God require of us? It says, as soon as Jesus became king, he threw Satan and his wicked angels out of heaven and down to the locality of the earth. That is why things have become so bad here on earth since 1914. And they believe that they are the 144,000 referenced in Revelation. Well, they believe some of them are that 144,000 who will go to paradise, and they believe the rest of them are the great crowd who watch on, who will not go to paradise but will inhabit the new earth. And those who do not believe in God do not go to hell, but they are just annihilated. They cease to exist. So that's an overview of some of the beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you talk to them in your house or on the street, they will have arguments well rehearsed from their training that they received to try to twist and distort God's word. But the reality is in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Christ and God exalted him so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. And we do not bow to angels. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses say that we should not bow to anybody but God alone. And we do not bow to angels. So that's an overview. So a question to ask would be, how many gods are there? And the answer to that is one from Isaiah 43, verse 10. And yet, Jesus is then claiming in John 1 that he is then a God. Even if you go with their translation of John, where they add in that little word, a, It's then worshipping another God. It's then another God coming after Jehovah God. Doesn't add up. If you're confrontational with a Jehovah's Witness in your conversations, they will basically pack up their bag and go, and they won't call at your house again. And some of you are maybe thinking, great, but the reality is that these are honest folks searching for truth who are believing what I believe is a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit Jesus, a fake Jesus. And our call is to tell them the truth about him. Going on very briefly on the other areas of their theology. So what do they believe about God? Well, they believe that he is one, and they do not believe in the Trinity, but they have a Unitarian faith. And again, in their teachings it says, there is no authority in the Word of God for the doctrine of the Trinity of the Godhead. Studies in Scriptures, Volume 5, pages 54 to 60. But then if you look at the evidence, even from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. So God here is the plurality, in our image. We weren't, even if you argue that he's talking to the archangel Michael, we are not created in the image of an angel. We are created in the image of God. God here, the Father is talking to God, the Son. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Another reference of the Trinity. And there's many more that we could go to. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission that Jesus sends to the disciples, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Acts 5:3-4 also clearly shows that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhood. Whenever Peter accuses Ananias of lying to him, you cannot lie to what the Jehovah's Witness claim to be a power or a force. Peter then goes on to declare that the Holy Spirit is God. In Acts 13, the Holy Spirit sends out and speaks. So coming on to their only name for God is Jehovah. So in the original Hebrew, the word that is translated Lord in our Old Testament is the tetragrammaton YHWH, which is thought to be Yahweh, but they have translated that Jehovah. The reality is, in the Hebrew language, there was not even a J sound for that to be an accurate translation on every occasion. They have taken files from the word Lord and added it into this tetragrammaton YHWH. They then believe that the Greek New Testament that we have is not a complete one, and that the word Jehovah was taken out of it 237 times. So they have taken the liberty to add that into their Bible 237 times, because they believe the original was wrong, or the copies that we have of the original are wrong. I believe this again is a counterfeit or a fake God that they are worshipping and claiming to believe in. Very quickly onto their scriptures. They have a translation called the New Word Translation. They believe it to be the only faithful one, and the first edition was in 1961, and yet they do not tell us who the translating team are. And the reality is that the chair of this team did not know Hebrew or Greek, and professors from a Princeton Theological Seminary has said that Jehovah's Witnesses have incorporated in their translations of the New Testament several quite erroneous renderings of the Greek. And there's other quotes from other doctors in Greek and in Hebrew. But what they have done is taken their theological framework and place it on top of the Bible and then change everything under it to fit with what they believe. And as Christians, we have to be careful that we don't do that as well, but that we allow the Word of God to be our ultimate authority. So some questions that you could consider asking is, who translated your Bible? How do you know it as a reliable and honest translation? And why is there 237 editions of the name Jehovah? I believe that the New World Translation is a counterfeit. It's a fake translation of the original Greek and Hebrew. So why do the Jehovah's Witnesses believe all of this? Well, really, it comes down to the governing body, which is the Watchtower, and they claim to be the final word and authority in how to interpret Scripture. And as 46 million copies of this goes out every month, this is how they get their teaching into local people's hands. And there are several claims from this magazine that I unfortunately don't have time to go into, but I'll just read out the headings. The first one is, the Bible can only be understood via the Watchtower organizations. Secondly, individuals are not able to rightly interpret the Bible apart from the Watchtower organization. The Watchtower magazine is the means of God's communication to us. If you love God, then you will accept the Watchtower. And then final one I'll read out. The truth of God can only be known through the Watchtower organization. And yet clearly in God's word it says to examine for yourself what is being taught to you. And we read in Acts 17, the Bereans received the message of Paul with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We have to examine what we hear to see if it's true and if in line with the Bible. So how do we engage? Well, firstly, we always have to do it in love and in prayer. And if, I think the best thing to do is to ask them questions. And as they answer a question, ask them to explain it another way, because you haven't quite grasped it. So that they have to choose another way that they haven't been told to tell you something. And to really get them to examine their own faith for themselves. We are not simply here to win an argument, but we're here to win precious souls to the Lord. And what is success in evangelization? Making the gospel known to others. That's success. Converts isn't how we measure how successful our evangelism is. It's how faithful we are in making that gospel known to others. Some of the sources I've used and places to go for more information are found here, and you can sign up for some of those in the hallway and I can send you them on the way out. I just want to leave you with one final quote which will hopefully encourage you to find out a little bit more about the Jehovah's Witnesses and a little bit more about what you believe yourself. It says, despite a track record of repeated false prophecies, cultic isolation of their own people, and a flagrant mistranslation of the Bible to justify their own theology, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society continues to gain unsuspecting converts every year. It's a job of biblically faithful Christians, hopefully that's us, to be prepared to refute these errors with sound doctrine. As Jude tells us, we must contend earnestly for the faith for which all were handed down to the saints. We have this great treasure in jars of clay. Can I encourage you to let that light shine before those who live in our time, including those who claim to be Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's pray. Father, as we're taking a quick overview of what others believe about you, Father, we are saddened that there's 20 million people in the world who believe all of this with all of their heart. And God, I pray that you would open blind eyes even this evening. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to these people as they read your word. Father, I pray that you would put us in contact with some of them and be able to point them to you, to point them to the one who has saved us by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves, but it's a gift from you, not by work, so that nobody can boast. And Father, may we not go out of here boasting in our own salvation, but only boasting in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.